Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Dog Speak Geeks, I hope your week is going well. I hope you are getting some fall weather. And I hope if you are into football season, you're as excited as I am, but also understand that your dog may not be as excited as we are. So if you're not following us on TikTok, be sure I posted a kind of a little quick short video just to talk about helping your dog navigate football season with you. Because if you're anything like us in our house, it can get a little loud and crazy, right? That's the fun of it. Not to mention more gatherings, more people, lots of activities. It may be just a little too much for your dog. So just be aware of that and be sure that you're kind of keeping your dog's needs in the back, actually not in the back of your mind, in the front of your mind. Because you know, Dog Speak is all about helping you be a better partner and communicator with your dog, as well as keeping your dog safe and comfortable. If you did not listen to last week's episode, you've got to listen to it. I really believe that it is one that is going to continue to be so good for you guys to listen to over and over again, especially if you're dealing with any type of trauma, anxiety, stress. There are so many things that we deal with on a regular basis, and our dogs are going to suffer from it as well. Whenever I am dealing with something, Willow knows, and she smells it, she feels it, and she responds or reacts to it. So let's just keep this in mind, that there's a thing called co-regulation, and you guys need to do it. So today, though, I do want to talk about how we can either continue building our relationship and building that trust while we're training our dog, or are we creating problems in our relationship, communication, and trust when we are training our dogs? People think that training their dog is always going to be a positive thing and it's always going to improve the relationship, but that's not the case. I hear oftentimes people get very frustrated when they're training their dog, and they get so frustrated, they oftentimes give up and just stop, you know, working on things. And that is not what we want to do. When we have dogs, we know the importance of, of caring for them. And we know that, you know, we have them because we love them and we want to have this special connection. And that happens through a lot of interaction, but the interaction has to be positive and it has to be something that is going to benefit the dog and benefit you. Sometimes it just benefits the dog, but I do want to talk about when your dog is not doing great things and they're not being the dog that you're really wanting. How do we handle it? You know, what do we do with that? Last weekend, I should say, I had two puppies here that I kept, and they were both about, 8, 9 weeks old, little under like 2, 3 pounds. Willow was having a ball. She loved having them here. She just adored them. She mothered them a little bit. But she really did very well with them. I was very concerned with her big paws and her big body and being just a goofball, still in adolescence. You know, just short of 11 months, just shy of 11 months. I really was concerned about her stepping on them or hurting them. One was a little mini dachshund, so of course, always worrying about the dachshund back. But she did really well. She's so good at responding to me when I ask her to do things. Just when I'm just having conversation with her, she's just really good at response. And I thought, well, this is going to be great. She's old enough. Maybe she can kind of do a babysitting. I can get some good work done. That wasn't the case either. So Basically, what we had going on there was that she lost her hearing. She lost her hearing. She lost her ability to respond. She lost all ability to function as the 11-month-old dog that I have when it's she and I. And again, this is not, it's not surprising. You know, when it first started happening and she just absolutely was not responding to my request, I got frustrated. I'm not going to lie. I was frustrated, right? I mean, my routine was off, keeping puppies. You know, it throws my routine off. I wasn't able to get to the gym. I was not getting a full night's sleep. And so everything was just kind of, I was a little stress-stacked, right? And so I got a little frustrated with her. And I just ended up kind of keeping her in a crate a little bit more often. And I realized, you know, this is exactly what my clients go through on a regular basis when they're trying to work with their dog, right? They work with their dog in environments that are really conducive to learning, which is fantastic. But then they try to use it in the real world and in real situations, and it falls apart sometimes. And we think, well, damn, this isn't working. And so that's a lot of times when they want to go to that punishment, correction, you know, aspect of training. And this is where we have to be careful. We don't want to change how we do things because the environment is not conducive to your dog's response capability. Over time, your dog will get better, I promise you, if you stay doing what you need to do, right? If I had changed and started throwing out different commands or doing different things, yeah, I'm going to end up creating an issue in our relationship to where she's going to not trust me when the environment changes. And that is not what I want. The most important thing I need her to know is that when the environment changes, she can still count on me and know that I will be there for her and that my behavior will be the same. This is so challenging for people. So challenging. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit today on how can we do better? How can we improve? How can we help our dogs be successful? What can we do when these things happen? How do we recognize that that's what happens or that is what is happening and the dog is not just blowing you off? And I want you to also understand that as a good trainer, and you don't have to be an excellent trainer. We're not asking you to do our job. We're not asking you to do our job. What we are asking you to do is to recognize that building a relationship with your dog is individual and it is two of you. At least there's two of you. And it's about truly understanding the needs and wants of both and communicating those things clearly, you know, just like with any relationship that you have, right? Being clear in that communication and your needs and your wants. But when we look at how good are you at kind of leading your dog, being that upper management, and I'm not saying being dominant, being alpha. We all know that's bullshit if you're listening to this podcast. We don't follow that logic because it's not true. But it's important to know that what you do when your dog is not giving you the behaviors that you want, what you do is more important in that moment than what you're doing when your dog's doing the right thing. So whatever your dog is doing right, yeah, we need to acknowledge that. But it's how you respond when your dog is not doing right that is truly going to launch your relationship into either a wonderful, beautiful place, or it may launch it into an unstable, unpredictable mess. And this is really kind of coming from your dog's brain here. So today we're going to dive into troubleshooting these moments, understanding what your dog is doing, where they're coming from, and that good stuff. Now, Obviously, if we're talking about puppies, we know that puppies just don't have the capacity right now to do everything that they need to do. Just like with our adolescents, Willow just didn't have the capability to respond to me. So I had to manage the situation in order to help her be successful. And sometimes that success was saying, I need a break and you need a break, so let's just all take a nap. And sometimes that is what you have to do just to keep my nervous system regulated and to make sure that I'm not feeling stress-stacked to a point to where I am lashing out at her and not communicating clearly. Because let's be real, when our nervous system is dysregulated, communication typically breaks down and we become reactive instead of responsive. So that's where we want to ensure that we're not causing problems because we're not taking care of what we need to be doing for ourselves in order to help our dog learn. Frustration is something that hits all of us, right? And how you exhibit that frustration may be very different than the way that I exhibit that frustration, right? Some people with frustration shut down. They get quiet. They kind of go into that freeze mode. Some will get to the point where they want to fight, meaning they're just getting loud. They're being reactive, physical. Issues are happening, rapid heart rate. They're needing to kind of just express it externally. That's where mine comes in. My frustration a lot of times goes into anger. A lot of times go hand in hand. But your dog also deals with frustration differently than maybe, you know, your neighbor's dog or your mama's dog. But it's, again, it's an individual way to respond. And so when we are looking at frustration, we need to know what are the behaviors that we see from our dog when they get frustrated, and recognize those behaviors as frustration and not recognizing those behaviors as inappropriate behavior. You know, don't label them inappropriate behavior. If your dog is feeling frustrated, we need to look at those behaviors as, my dog is clearly communicating something to me. It is my job to figure it out, do some problem solving, because I am the greater species, and see what I can do to help my dog do a behavior that's more acceptable in the moment. Okay. So frustration. What are some of the signs that dogs are frustrated? You'll get a dog who starts throwing out behavior because they're like, God, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure what you want from me, so I'm just going to start throwing a bunch of things, and let's just hope that one of these stick, right? And you do the same damn thing. You throw out commands. When you're frustrated, you start throwing out commands, hoping one of them sticks and gives you the response that you want. So if you do this, why wouldn't our dog do it? Again, our dog's not throwing out commands, though. Our dog may be throwing out different behavior: sit down, paw, lay down again, roll over, stand up, sitting, barking, jumping, mouthing, nipping. These are all very clear signs that your dog is a little frustrated because they don't know what you're wanting. But if they're feeling stressed, you might get things such as doing something else, ignoring you, yawning, paw raises, sniffing the ground, drinking water, scratching an area that you typically don't really have a itch, but it's, again, just something to help to reduce the stress that's in the environment and reduce the stress that they're feeling. I had a Roddy who, when she was unsure of what I wanted, whether I was teaching something new or whatever the case may be, but I learned that one of the things that she did when she was confused was she would take her back foot and scratch the back of her front leg. And it was always kind of the same thing. And I started to recognize that was the behavior that she would show when she was unsure and frustrated. Or not even necessarily frustrated, but just mostly unsure, right? I would say frustration, most dogs are going to give you jumping, mouthing, nipping, and barking. Those are going to be, you know, the things. And they may even start doing some zooms, right? Sometimes dogs will zoom, do the zoomy zooms, when they're frustrated and they're unsure. So you need to start recognizing when your dog is feeling frustrated and feeling, you know, unsure of what you're asking or what they need to be doing, right? So even these frustration, this frustration can be created not just when you're asking them to do something. It could be in a situation that they're unsure of and they're looking for you to give them guidance and you're not. That's when frustration can also kick in. So again, keep in mind that your dog is not necessarily going to be, you know, showing you that frustration in the biggest ways that I just explained. Your dog may just shut down, lay down, walk away, hide behind the couch, go under the couch, go to their crate, ask to go outside, just to get out of the situation. So try to start watching your dog and see what signs you can recognize. And then I want you to try to put an emotion with it. And that's going to require you looking at what's happening right before that behavior and sometimes even right after that behavior. To simplify kind of do's and don'ts and what we need to be doing as our dog is feeling frustrated, I want to talk about kind of troubleshooting during training. I think that'll be the easiest. And you can easily take that information or take the information and move it over into most scenarios where your dog is feeling a little frustrated. So the first thing I want to look at is the three big troubleshooting questions that people need to be asking is number one, clarity. When you're asking your dog to do something and your dog is unable to respond, and notice I say unable and not unwilling, unable to respond. Unwilling is a whole nother scenario, and we're not going to talk about unwilling. We're going to talk about unable. If your dog is unable to respond to a command, first thing we need to ask ourselves is, does my dog really understand what I'm asking? Have I taught it completely? Am I asking the dog to do this behavior the same way that I've asked them to do it at other times? Let me give you an example. If when you ask your dog to sit at home, or let's say the only time you ask your dog to sit is when you are needing to put a collar on, give them food, go out the door, so you're always standing up. If you're always standing up when you ask your dog to sit, and you just naturally lean towards your dog, snap your fingers, point, hold your fist up as you're saying sit, and then you go out in public and you're sitting on a patio and you look at your dog and you ask your dog to sit and your dog looks at you like you have a middle eyeball sticking out of your forehead, your dog's not being disobedient. Your dog is not unwilling to do what you ask. Your dog is looking at you and saying, that sounds really familiar, but here's the problem. You're sitting where you normally stand. You're not leaning towards me like you normally do. You didn't snap your fingers, well, because you're holding a fork and then a drink in your other hand. You didn't hold up the fist because, again, same reason. So, yeah, I'm a little confused. I don't know exactly what you're asking. So this is where we have to think about, am I asking my dog to do a behavior the way I would normally ask them. And this is why I tell you guys to stay away from hand signals and body movements. Because in real life, you can't always do all that you want. I find this happened a lot in our group class when people would be sitting around in their chairs the first night. And I would go around the room and I would ask each person to ask their dog to sit. We would toss a treat, let them stand up, and then ask them to sit. It was probably 90% of the people would stand up out of their chair, get in front of their dog, and ask them to sit. And that immediately is what I would have them recognize, that they changed their entire body and gave like three different cues to the dog to sit. In reality, we want the dog to sit with our word, whether we're whispering it, whether we need to increase our volume for distance, whatever it may be. We need to not be adding in a bunch of things. And then our next question is, does our dog realize that sit is something that we want in this environment, even though we've never practiced it? And that is, again, just something we need to practice over and over again. And not punishing the dog for not being capable of doing it. Think about what you may do when you're asking your dog to do behavior. Think about how you ask and the comfort of your home versus how you ask when you're in public. If you change how you ask your dog to do a behavior in public than you do at home, then you are being as inconsistent as your dog. And it's very clear why your dog is unable to respond to your command. Now, the second thing we want to ask ourselves is the dog motivated enough to respond? Is the reward we're offering enough? Or is the environment more rewarding than what we have to offer? That many times just comes with maturity for the dog and clear guidance from you without the fear of repercussions. But sometimes your dog's not going to respond because it's just not worth it. It's like if somebody said, "Hey, Nikki, do you want to go run a mile and I'll give you $5? I'm going to be like, "Hell no. No, I will run if something's chasing me. And then you can give me $5 if I survive. But hell no. Now, if you're going to offer me $100 to run a mile, as long as I don't have a time limit, sure, that's worth it. Because I hate running. I hate running. I hate running because in high school and college, running was a punishment for not doing well in the sport that I was in. Running was the punishment. And it wasn't just a punishment for one person. It was a punishment for the whole team. One person screwed up, the whole team got punished. So running has never been a fun thing for me. I have a very negative association to it. There are not many things I'm going to do, or there are not many rewards that you can offer me to get me to run. It's going to have to really be a big reward. Same with your dog. If your dog is you're asking a dog to stay for a cookie that they get 12 of every other day instead of chasing and playing with another dog, you're not going to win that. And this is why many times people want to go to punishment instead of just saying, "You know what? My dog doesn't want this cookie right now, so I either need to get a better cookie." And really, I hate all cookies for dogs because that means they're usually crunchy and they're made with carbs. Let's just go with treat. So maybe they just don't want that small bite of, beef heart that they have gotten a lot of. But then you offer them a lamb lung bite and they're like, "Oh, hell yeah, I haven't gotten that before. Yeah, that's worth it." But also, here's another thing. You can also reward the dog by letting them go play with that other dog. If the dog wants to go play with that other dog, then that's the ultimate reward for that dog. So if it's possible, then that is what I'm going to give them. We have to remember that there are many opportunities in our environment that we can up the reward if we know what our dog wants. Just because we think our dog would want it doesn't mean that they want it. You may have five different treats in your pouch, but if none of those are what the dog wants at the moment, or there's something in the environment that's more rewarding, you're probably not going to get the response you're looking for. Now, over time, your dog will start to understand that not all rewards that they want are possible, and that they don't come very quickly all the time. That just comes with maturity. Think about how a kindergartner, preschooler, they get stars, they get check marks, and when you get so many, you might get a prize, you might get, you know, a little more time. I remember in school, we used to get, like, I think stars, and when you got so many stars, you got to go pick something out of the supply closet that you could go purchase, like erasers and pencils, sometimes ice cream, right? So we got, we earned points to get a reward. Now, when you got to high school, you didn't get that shit. High school, you worked in order to prevent the punishment that would come from your parents for not getting good grades. And I will tell you, hated it. I hated it. I hated doing things just to avoid punishment. I liked doing things for the reward I'm going to get, whether that's an external or an internal reward. Your dog is no different. Guys, we got to stop putting so much on our dogs and stop saying, hey, well, this is why we have to use punishment, right? If, you know, Nikki, what if my dog sees a rabbit and they want to run across the street to get the rabbit because they don't like my reward? Well, if I know that's going to be a possibility, then it's my job to set my dog up for success, not prevent my dog from attempting it, but setting them up for success. And what I mean is I'm going to put my dog on a long leash, maybe a 30-foot leash. I'm going to stay 35 feet from the road or 33 feet from the road on my 30-foot leash. And I am going to allow my dog to make some decisions when she sees those distractions, that rabbit, that cat, that other dog, that bird, that feather, that leaf, that stick, that ball. And I'm going to help her learn that she needs to wait for permission and that there are rewards on this side of the road. Why would I let my dog start taking off across the road and then shock it with a shock collar for doing so? I literally, the other day, I know this is a little sidetrack, sitting out on my deck and I hear this dog yelp. And it wasn't just one yelp. It was a good 30-second screaming, yelping. And I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And it was catty corner in my back. So it was the neighbors that live behind us, catty corner. And I come out of the fence and I start walking up and I see a dog now sitting at their back door, just, I mean, as trying to make itself as small as possible. And a couple of guys out in the yard throwing around football. And I was like, hey, is everything okay? And he was like, oh, yeah. I don't remember the dog's name. We'll say Sophie. Yeah, Sophie likes to escape. You know, we have an invisible fence, and Sophie likes to escape. And, you know, but she's been really good, so we hadn't had it on her. But then she's run off a couple of times. So, yeah, we just put the collar back on her, and she just tried to run through it. That's all. And then he's just, like, laughing and going back to throwing football. And I was thought, that is, like, seriously, that is fucking abuse to your dog. Instead of helping the dog learn, you're just focused on making sure the dog is punished. And now I guarantee you, that dog probably doesn't even want to go in the backyard to pee. They probably are now getting pee-pee and potty and poop in the house because the dog is too afraid to go in the yard. So that's just, don't do that kind of stuff, guys. Don't do that. Now, third is environment. Has your dog worked in this environment before? Is the environment too stimulating? Have you ever been in an environment that is too stimulating where you can't think? I'm sure you have. We all have. Even those of us that are big extroverts, and I'm kind of in the middle of both now, but I'm okay in crowds, in big groups, but there are even times when it's too much for me that I have a hard time focusing on one person or listening to a conversation or even being able to respond. Not necessarily in a freeze mode, just having a hard time hearing what they're saying and trying to process it. And that is something that I see on a regular basis as well, is the environment is not appropriate for your dog in the moment. Doesn't mean that they can't be. It's just not in the moment. So we have to adjust our expectations when that environment is a little too much. And don't put your dog in situations they're not prepared for. That's the other thing. Right? They're trying to figure this life out. You need to help them figure this life out and stop putting unrealistic expectations on them. So those are the kind of the three things that we need to look at when we're getting a lack of response from our dog. Those are those top three things. So think about where you've possibly done this with your dog, where you've set up unrealistic expectation and then assume that you're being an asshole. Just because other people are assholes to you in your life does not mean your dog is. Matter of fact, your dog is going to be the least asshole-ish thing in your life. I promise you. We need to learn to give our dogs a little bit of grace. But also, let's give ourselves some grace, right? We need to understand that, yeah, we're not going to be perfect. We are going to mess things up. We're going to be human. If we have a problem with our dog not responding due to they don't know what we're asking, then we need to kind of rework the way we are asking our dog to do a behavior. So if we go back to the sit, instead of doing sit and snapping or pointing or standing up, start capturing your dog when they sit, and you can reward it with your verbal, with a pet, with food. But as they're sitting, you can say sit and reward that. Don't add anything else in. Anytime you see them sitting, good boy, good girl, and reward. Very soon, they will start offering that sit on their own, which means then you can start to easily put a command to it. Now, if you pretty much have put that sit in there, but you've added in things like hand signals, no biggie. Go ahead and say your command and then give your hand signal. You're going to say the command. Wait at least a second before you put that hand up. After you do that a few times, you can do a sit and then wait 2 seconds before you put the hand up. And it shouldn't take long before your dog is anticipating the hand signal and will sit on the verbal. Once your dog's really getting it, start asking just randomly. And if you randomly ask your dog to do it and your dog doesn't do it, you may wait 5 seconds, ask again. And if they don't, just go, I wonder why. And then figure out how to work on that based on that scenario. Make it easy. What I don't want you to do is forcing your dog into doing behavior. It's more important that the dog understands what you want and they do it than not understand what you want and you make them do it. We don't want to do that. So just make it a little bit clearer for them. If it's a motivation issue, that's easy. You can find what really motivates your dog. Get creative, right? Get creative. And if you say, well, Nikki, my dog's not food motivated, well, then we have some sensitivity issues and your dog's gut health is not in good shape. Period. Period, boo. Every dog is food motivated. They may not be more food motivated than, say, hunting a rabbit, but that's genetics. So your dog should be willing to work for food, which is why we teach dogs that you don't have to go chase that rabbit right now. Yeah, this food's not really what you want, but I promise I will give you the opportunity to do what it is that you are looking for, right? Chasing the rabbit itself, the rabbit's not the reward. It's the dopamine that's being released in the activity of chasing the rabbit. That's the reward. So we just have to find other ways to meet that need and release that dopamine in a controlled fashion. And that takes me to environment. If your dog is unable to respond to behaviors in a certain environment, then you need to make it easier and start with a quieter environment and increase from there. We've got to stop teaching our dogs, you know, good behavior in the house and in our backyard and then take them to the dog park and asking them to respond to the same commands. That's not going to work right now. Can you get that? Absolutely. But you need to start slow, right? If I want my dog to respond at the dog park, I'm going to first make sure my dog can respond in my front yard, my backyard, on a walk in my neighborhood. And then once I get to the dog park, can I get a response in the car, outside of the car, halfway to the gate, by the gate, and then inside the gate? That's how we kind of break that down. And you'll have to look at your individual situation to see the best way to break it down to where your dog can be responsive. Just like with Willow, with the puppies, she just couldn't do it. She just couldn't do it. So I stopped asking for a lot of things. And then I just managed the interaction she had with the puppies. I decreased it a little bit. I made sure that she only, you know, was playing with them, not when she was like the, you know, highest level of energy. I'd go out and throw the Frisbee a couple of times. We'd do some things outside, some sniffy, and then I'd let her come in and play with the pups. I let her get a little bit of that energy out before playing with the young pups because I knew that she was struggling with her ability to be responsive. Now, I'm not saying go run your dog to win until they are so exhausted, because we all know what it's like to be exhausted. We all know what it's like to be so tired. We just can't function. We have a shorter fuse. Our reactions and responses are oftentimes larger than the situation really requires, right? Think of your dog being reactive over something silly. When you are aware that your dog has stages of learning, stages of development, and then understanding that they don't generalize as easily as we do, you should have a little bit more patience and empathy. And it's your job to set your dog up for success. It's not your job to physically force your dog to do behavior. It is your job to set up your dog to be able to respond to a behavior that you have clearly taught and put a word to it. I'm going to give you another example of the mistake a lot of people make when they don't have a clear behavior of the expectation with a command. And I think calm is the best one to use. I ask people a lot of times, when you ask your dog to come when called, what's your expectation? And they look at me puzzled, like it's the silliest question. And they say, well, I want him to come to me. Okay, what does that mean? Because that doesn't mean anything to your dog. What does that mean? Well, I want him to come over and sit in front of me. Okay, well, that's a sit. That's not come, right? So people start getting a little confused on that. And the reason I do this is because I want us to understand it's not as clear in their brain as it is in yours. For me, when I say come, I want a dog to make their way to me. I want them to get close enough to where I can physically touch them. And then I want them to wait within that proximity of me until I give further instruction or direction, such as a release, such as I'm hooking you up and we're walking, whatever it might be. To help the dog learn that, the second they start coming in my direction, I am acknowledging the behavior that I like. So think about your dog running towards you as step one. I could literally break that down into smaller steps, but I'm not going to. But step one, dog is running towards you. Step two, dog makes physical contact. Step three, dog waits for further information. So I could easily break that down into more steps, but I just want to, we have a podcast episode where we talked about teaching the recall. But for this, you have to really start focusing on the little steps that you're looking for. If I say my dog's name and come, she looks at me, good girl. And then she starts running this direction, good girl, good girl, good girl, all the way. I make contact with her, good girl, and while I'm petting on her, I'm reaching in my bag, I'm getting a treat, and I'm telling her what a good girl she is, and I'm giving her a treat, and then I'm going to release her. Let her go back to play. And I don't do it just to do it. Now, when I'm teaching I will, you know, obviously work on it, but only for a few minutes. Once my dog knows what it means, I don't use it very often. I don't, because my dog typically stays nearby, or, you know, she keeps me in sight. But also, I use a lot of the directional cue of this way, which means I don't need you to come to me. I just need you to come in my direction, because you're going too far in the wrong direction. Keep in mind that you don't always have to use food. You can use toys. You can use play. You can use freedom to get off the leash, go through a gate, go play with another dog. There are a lot of things that you can use. So get creative and change it up. We always like rewards better, and I'm talking about humans here. We love playing games where we don't know the outcome. Think about it. Think about every sport that you love. Think about playing scratch-off tickets, lottery, slot machines. Growing up, there were a lot of the, machines that you would put a coin in, turn the knob, and get a plastic egg that had something in it. You didn't know what it was going to be. That was the fun of it. Do the same for your dog. And when you're thinking about behavior to reward that's more of a calm behavior, so let's say with stay. Stay for me is do nothing. If I have a dog stay and I'm teaching that, I'll use treats, but I really like to use toys. If I can get a dog to stay and then reward that stay of doing nothing with a ball being tossed, man, dogs love that much more than a treat if it's a retrieving dog. I was going to go back and say retriever. I kind of paused on that, didn't I? But it's about thinking about what your dog finds motivating. And it's not just what they're motivated by, but what are they motivated by in that moment? What can you use in that moment? If I'm out somewhere and I've got treats on me and Willow's kind of like, yeah, those treats are nice, but I'm really hot and I don't really want to eat them right now, I'll find a stick or something and I'll use that. Or I'll give her extra sniffy time. And it's probably not the petting and loving she wants because she's outside. She wants to do other things. She's exploring. Petting is not what she wants. Petting is for you. Let's be real. Most of the time we pet our dogs, it's for us. It's not for them. It's for us because it makes us feel better. It makes our nervous system, calm down a little bit. So petting is mostly for you, not the dog. Now, I'm not saying every dog. Some dogs like, you know, being petted on more than almost anything. I get that. Touch is my love language. Like, I really believe I was probably a golden retriever in my former life. Because if you pet on me, I might follow you home. I mean, I just love being rubbed on. I don't care if I'm sick, if I feel great. Whatever my issue is, if you rub on me, it's going to work. It's going to make me feel better. It's going to make me calmer. It is going to be what I need. So think about what your dog really sees as rewards and make a list. Make a list. If you're out and about and your dog does something and you try to use certain treat, make a list and say, you know what? They didn't really care for that one. I'll try something different next time. We need to problem solve to help our dogs be successful. Because we're also teaching our dogs to problem solve, but we got to help out. So some reset strategies, just go back a step, make it a little bit easier, let the dog figure some things out, work on it in a quieter environment. When you are working on behaviors and training, please keep sessions short. I do not drill any type of command. I'm not drilling teaching behavior. I typically go 30 seconds to maybe 2 minutes. And I'll sometimes even play in between that. Or after that 2 minutes, we might play for five, and then we might do another 30-second to a minute session. I switch it up. I change it up because nobody wants to just sit there and just drill the same thing over and over and over again. If your dog is having a kind of a difficult training session and you've gone maybe a little bit longer, just take a break. Go play. Let them sniff. A little decompression time is fine. Interact with them in a fun way. I always love just getting in there and be like, oh, he's my good puppy. And I really make it about she and I learning together and not so much that I'm just sitting there teaching her and being the drill sergeant. That's not going to be beneficial to your relationship. And understanding that you have to sometimes not follow through with a command. Sometimes they win. And what I mean by that is sometimes we just don't need to force it. If I ask my dog to sit somewhere, and maybe I was asking just because, I don't know, in the moment it felt like that's what I needed to do, and my dog was having a hard time sitting, and I asked a couple of times, and she's just like not functioning, because adolescence, I have to ask myself, do I really need her to sit? If I do not need her to sit, then I just say, okay, it's okay, babe. Would you rather lay down? You want to stand over here? What can mama do to help you feel more comfortable? Or I just go, yeah, okay, I don't really need to sit. And I don't worry about it. I do think about why was she unable to respond. And it's usually the adolescence. So there are times you want to follow through, but you need to learn how to follow through without being physical or scary or intimidating or punishing. If I needed her to sit, if I had a treat on me, I would just lure her into a sit. I would literally just take the treat, put it in her nose, front of her nose, and more than likely just putting that treat in front of her nose, she'd be like, oh, yeah, I can sit. That's not, okay, that can go into bribery. I don't want you to get into that. And that's why I say you have to ask yourself, do I really need this behavior? It's not something we default to. Do I need this behavior? And you may want to think about that before you even ask for it. So you do not get yourself in a situation where you have to bribe or bring out those goods before the behavior has happened. Most of you know, if you've listened to me long enough, I'm not a huge fan of luring behavior that is natural. I'd rather lure behavior that is not so natural. But if I truly need a dog to sit, and I can't even tell you a situation where I would absolutely need that in my life. You might. I can't think of one right now off the top of my head. So, all right. I hope that really helps, you guys to understand that your dog is not trying to be a jerk to you. When you're frustrated during training, take a break, play a little bit, do something fun. And remember that always, your dog, before they do something you don't like, they're doing something you like. If you have a dog who jumps, there is a moment before they jump, there's four on the floor. Focus on that behavior, acknowledge it, and reward it. And that will make your life so much easier. Frustration kicks in when we think about how do we stop behavior. Because then we just end up doing nothing but stopping behavior, and that's no fun. Instead, focus on what you want. It's a lot easier to teach a dog what you want. Just like when we're teaching children how to spell a word, we don't teach children how to spell the word incorrectly in order to get them to spell it correctly. We teach children how to spell the word correctly. And then when they don't spell it correctly, we guide them and help them learn the mistake and then fixing it so they can spell it correctly. Help your dog spell their words correctly. Stop focusing on what you don't want, and I promise you training will be a lot more fun. And maybe even stop thinking of it as training. I kind of have a hard time even thinking about it as training. I just think of it more as kind of teaching, building a relationship, communicating, and helping my dog learn how to navigate this world that is not set up for her. So really, it's more about teaching her because, yes, I do have words that I can tell her and get behavior from her. But I mostly want her to learn how to navigate this world with the skills that I have provided, with the decisions I have helped her learn to store away so that she can kind of go through her little Rolodex. Some of y'all may not know what that is if you're way young. Go through your Rolodex and see which one's going to work in this situation, in this scenario. All right. I hope that helps. If you're having problems teaching your dog anything, we can do so much with you virtually. It may require you to send a few videos, but hey, we're taking lots of videos and pictures these days. Everybody has a video recorder on their phone. So if you feel like you need some help and you just haven't found that right person in your area, or you can't get in with somebody, or maybe they're too expensive, or all they do is offer board and train, but you really want to learn yourself, reach out to us. We have a lot of virtual clients that we work with. We are very successful with it. We can truly help you. And then, of course, we do have our YouTube page that shows some really good videos on how-tos. We're going to be adding in some more how-tos. I'm going to be adding in one on how to teach a close walk instead of the free kind of relaxed walk where my dog is not on top of me. Most of you would call it a heel. I don't use that word, but most of you would call it a heel. I do not teach a heel as my primary way to walk. Heel is a secondary type of walk, and it's used in very short increments based on where I am and what I'm doing. So yeah, reach out if you guys need anything on that. Please be sure you sign up for our newsletter. We are going to start kind of decreasing our activity on our Facebook page, our Instagram page. We will be putting more on TikTok and our YouTube page, but we're also sending out our newsletters weekly. We will not sell your information. I hate that. So trust me when I say we will not sell your information to a third party, but sign up for our newsletter because there's some specials on there. There's so many just good things that, that we're giving you and all for free. But if you would like to support the podcast, and we do appreciate it, you can always join our Patreon account. Our Patreon will give you some extra bonus kind of videos, talks, give you an opportunity to have some a Zoom Q&A with me. And then sometimes, I did this the last episode last week, I put it out the week before on Patreon for early access. So if you want to join our Patreon, you can join it really cheaply on a monthly basis and get some extras. We would love to have that support. It allows us to continue to do this and give you guys this information. Otherwise, hey, rate and review. It really does help us find new listeners. It helps get our podcast out there in the search engines. So please rate and review. Tell all your friends and family. Share it if you will. And if you find an episode that really touches you, I want to hear about it. Guys, I really want to hear from you. I love hearing from our listeners. So shoot us an email, info@dogspeak101.com. You can put podcast in the subject line if you want. Or if you have any stories you want to share, any questions you would like for me to answer on the pod, send them over. I want to interact with you guys. So that's why I push the social medias and push you on the newsletter and things of that, because I want to interact with you. I want to see you face to face. I want to talk to you, and I want to be able to teach you guys and help you have the best relationship that you can possibly have with the dog you have in your life right now. All right. I hope that is good for you guys. I hope you have a good rest of the week. I hope your football team wins. Unless they're playing my team, then we don't want them to win. And overall, I just hope that you are enjoying the end of summer and moving into fall if you are in the United States. I know that, Australia is going into their summer as we go into our winter, I believe. Yeah. So I hope you enjoy whatever weather you're getting right now. And you have a chance to work with your dog. So appreciate you guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the week.